It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello and welcome to episode 195 of the Cult of Tea and Dice, and this is session 4 of A Little Cottage in the Woods, which is part of Horror on the Orient Express, which we're running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu. I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for the evening. Who are you, and why are you here?
I'm Hardwick. And I'm
here. I don't know.
I'm here to be a bit mad as Clarissa Click.
That's true.
I'm Archive, and I'm here to be a bit traumatised as Mary Flanagan.
I am Bloodied, and I am here to be stylish as fuck as Chester Philman.
You see, we're still twiddling with knobs.
We've got
we've got our own knobs to twiddle now.
Yeah, they did. They've got. Because there's a big black block that I've got, and then there's the computer, and then they've got twiddly knobs on the front of the flashy thing, and it's amazing, and
it's
I've got an arm.
It is really flashy.
It is very flashy. Our whole setup is quite flashy. Right, before we begin this Cthulhoid extravaganza, however, Hardwick has something to say to us about a tea.
Yes, we have a tea.
Yes, we do.
well, it's a fruit blend.
No, tell them what it is.
It's the Covent Garden Tea House is Pina Colada. Now, we have done a Pina Colada before.
The Pina Colada before is either the worst or the second worst tea we've ever done. Because it's a toss-up between that and the brown rice tea.
Oh, the brown rice tea was worse.
Yeah, brown rice was horrendous.
Okay, so it's the second worst tea we've ever done.
Yeah, but that one was from a supermarket at a train station in Germany.
Can we send this one there?
I actually don't mind this.
It's horrible.
I did put two quite deep spoons of sugar in it, I will confess, but I do that with any tea I drink.
Oh, I've realised I'm very creepy.
Your face is very creaky.
No, my chair is very creaky, actually.
Well, no, let's keep reviewing it. Because
I quite like it.
Yeah, I quite like it too. It's nice. It's a nice, creaky thing.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Yeah. It's considerably better than German supermarket version.
That.
It's actually drinkable. I'm not sure it's...
Don't mind me. I'm just becoming a blanket burrito.
Yay! Blanket.
Mostly in the attempt to make the creaked chairs less creaky, admittedly.
We have blankets on our chairs now. I have a very fetching Dalek blanket on my chair.
I've got a duvet.
Our coat has a duvet.
Hardwick has got the green thing.
The Doc's empty chair has a curtain, I think, on it.
No, it's a cloak.
Oh, a cloak, sorry.
And mine has a lovely grey thermal blanket. Purchased from Lakeland Plastics for half price.
It's not actually plastic.
It's not plastic. It is probably some kind of synthetic, though. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this tea. I think it could die in a fire, and I'd be quite happy.
I'd probably save it from the fire for charity.
I think you're getting voted down on this one.
Yeah, sorry. We all seem to like this one. I think it might be a super taster thing, maybe.
Outvoted.
It's more likely a pineapple and coconut thing.
Yeah.
I fucking hate both of those things, and they're both in there.
Yeah, if you hate pineapple and coconut, pina colada is not for you.
No.
Maybe you've heard getting caught in the rain.
I will say...
Or, you know, maybe you're not into yoga and you have half a brain. It's not that funny. You knew I was going to quote the song at some point in this review.
Oh, God.
But you did finish the cup.
Yeah, but only because I always finish every cup.
Fair enough.
There has only been one tea that I've thrown out of that window.
Brown rice?
No. I drank brown rice.
The previous pina colada?
No. It was one recently. I can't remember which one it was now, but it was fucking disgusting. This is less bad than the previous pina colada, because I don't feel like it's coated my throat in a thin film of coconut dust. So, in that respect, it's much better.
It is much better.
It doesn't mean I like it, but then I was never going to like it. It contains coconut and pineapple.
I still have my pina colada tea bags. I've still got my pina colada tea bags. I should take them to work and leave them in the kitchen.
What, like some kind of landmine for the unwary?
Well, I got some... You remember we did the spiced apple one a while ago? Mm. I got a load of that because someone left it in the kitchen with a label on it of, take this, it's awful. And I disagree, so I took it.
Yeah, I disagree as well. That spiced apple was really nice.
It's really nice. So that's mine now, but I'm thinking I could do something similar and see if anyone actually takes it.
On a plus point, for Mordragon anyway, we've done the pina colada. That's out the way.
Yeah. That means we no longer have to do it again.
Have you played with aniseed, though?
Oh, yeah, and licorice.
Oh, yeah. No.
There is more horror to come.
No. You're gonna find it really difficult to persuade me to do licorice.
Yep, join the club.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we are currently missing an Il Porcupino, who unfortunately has been kept from us by the gods of the internet. So Selena is sort of still with you, but we'll be finding a cunning area to go to sleep in the first moment that she gets. So anyway, could everybody else please recap what happened last time?
Well, we found out what Selena had been up to, which was being in prison.
Yes.
And being interrogated by a policeman who he really didn't like her, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Until a lawyer showed up,
mm-hmm.
having been sent by the Institute.
Yes.
Who got her free by pointing out that it was a bit hard to believe a little old lady could throw someone through the wall of a train, and also she now has the freedom of Belgrade.
Yeah. Generally speaking, that did not go down well with Inspector Bolesqua.
Yeah. He was unhappy and made it very clear he would be watching her in case she slipped up. Which she's an infirm old lady. Let's hope she doesn't, because she'll break her hip.
Yeah. She is quite elderly.
Yes. So after being released and having had the message passed on from Madame Bruyard, exactly...
Hrovolska. Madame Bruyard's the one in the...
Shite, yeah. Okay. Madame Hrovolska.
Mm-hmm.
Don't edit that. Let me look in. I believe it involved the use of the word "you stupid old bag."
Yes,
so it did. Fun.
It very definitely involved the words. If this stupid old bag causes me to expend my efforts again, I will just leave her to get hanged.
Yeah, but she was then brought to meet up with us while we met with the
Dr. Todorovic?
Dr. Todorovic, yes. Yeah.
The chappie in the museum.
Yes.
Who currently is the holder of all of your pieces of the Sedefkar Simulacrum.
And he's doing his health wonders.
And all of your other stuff as well, which you've promised to give.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you did.
Yep. So he wrote out a letter of introduction for us.
Yes, he did that, and then he went and...
We went to the Bureau of National Treasures.
Yeah.
Bribed the guy.
Bribed the guy in the little office in the corner.
£15, was it?
15, yeah.
£15, yeah.
He was quite good at, like, being bribed, though. He was very careful to point out, oh, well, normally these come with two other countersigns.
Yeah, he was clever about it, so...
Yeah, he was good.
You know what? You're funny. You get your bribe.
Yeah, that's fair. But anyway, and then what did you all do?
After going to bed, then got up the next morning and took a train. The reason before the train.
You went and saw Todorovic again before the train.
Yeah, to get the
actual information on where you were going.
Yeah. Showing the certificate, which was currently blank, so we can fill it in with what we're going to be exporting when we have it.
Yeah, that is basically the plan.
Then he gave us the information as to who we were seeing and where we were seeing them.
Which is a small village's priest, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Bear with me. I'm trying to find the right bit. It is Father Christian Filipovich. Up in the town. That was me bumping into the microphone. Up in the town of Orosach. If I remember correctly, you just reached the station that was relatively close to Orosach.
Yes, having had a fight with a big black cock.
Yes, you did have to contend with a big black cock. But you did well. You managed to fight off the giant black cock and take your seat.
Yes.
Penis. And Mike just cut the penis out and leave the laugh.
No, don't cut the penis, man. Don't cut the penis.
No. That's fair.
That's
enough.
A bit harsh.
It is a bit harsh. I have been editing today, so I did some interesting edits. It was great. But
it's
anyway, yeah, you should be. So, could everybody please tell me what they have with them in terms of equipment, and specifically guns and weapons and other things of, like, threateningness or import, because that will determine how people are looking at you.
Well, I've got a carpet bag.
With a shotgun in it.
Yeah. I've just noticed on my sheet it doesn't say anything about ammo.
Let's assume you've got some.
Well, I was going to assume I probably got some, but I have no idea how much.
I think they come in boxes of
40, I think?
Not for shotgun shells. Shotgun shells are pretty fucking big. Let me have a look. What gauge is your shotgun?
12.
Right. Actually, they either come in a 25 shell box, which is approximately 4 inches deep, 8 inches wide, 8 inches long, or a crate of 100. I would suggest you probably have a box of 25. Okay. A crate of 100 would be a bit much.
Just one box?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't yours a double-barreled shotgun, though? So if you're ever in a position where you need 100 shotgun shells, there's no way you're going to last the 100 rounds you'd need to load and fire it that many times. Plus, if you ever get to that point, you'll be insane anyway. This is Cthulhu, people.
Okay.
But yeah, you can have a box of 25, no problem.
Okay.
And it's not difficult to buy more shotgun shells, because, weirdly, at this time in history, shotguns are not considered guns.
Hooray!
Neither are pistols. Basically, anything that's not a rifle isn't a gun in the eyes of the government.
Splendid. Well, I'm going to have a carpet bag with a shotgun in it.
A carpet bag with a shotgun. Do you have anything else I need to know about? Do you have a torch, for example?
Am I allowed to invent that I got these things on my... Because I have nothing on my gear and possessions list.
Well, basically, in that case, tell me what you think you should have, and I will tell you if you come up with anything outlandish and unusual. If, say, for example, you should have a 37-kilo bag of the powder of Ibn Ghazi, I might go, maybe not. Same with the rest of you, by the way. So, for example, which of your many swords are you bringing?
I'm just going to bring the sword cane for the sake of...
That does make sense.
Yeah.
I'll take a torch. A torch seems sensible.
Okay.
It would make sense for me to have one as well.
Okay. Torch and shotgun, torch and sword cane. Clarissa?
I've got my newly purchased first aid kit.
Yeah. And Dr. Jesus' favourite gun? And 21 bullets?
Yes.
Even though your faith has been shook or shaken.
Kind of automatic now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Do you have a torch?
I do have a torch.
Okay. And in the bag, you've got like morphine and iodine and things like that.
Mm.
Cool. So, yeah, you've reached this train station, and all of the other passengers are just heading off in various directions. They're getting their stuff down off the train and just walking off across fields or heading into the wards or walking down a wagon track or going off in lots of different directions. You three have literally just got off the train and are going, are we at the place we're supposed to be at? Because this looks like a hut next to some train lines.
Can we see anything in the desert, like on the horizon?
Trees?
Okay. There isn't like a bulletin board or anything. There's a map on it, by any chance, is there?
A map, not so much, no.
Directions? Signposts? No?
Nope. There's quite a lot of Serbian people heading off in various directions. And you do currently have Selena with you, remember?
Can we get Selena just to ask someone which direction?
Okay, she wanders over and pokes somebody in the chest. You! And then a load of Serbian. Eventually the guy looks suitably cowed, and he points off down the wagon track. Like, that way, that way, that way. And she's like, well, I'm not walking all of that way. And then, could you please make her a persuade check?
There's her sheet.
Over here. I didn't give it to you because she's not here.
Yeah. Understandable. He did not pass that.
Okay, she tries to force him to take you there, but doesn't manage. But yeah, so they've pointed off down the wagon track. And she's like, well, I'm not looking forward to this. I'm an old lady. And starts stomping along with a stick.
Shrug apologetically at the gentleman and follow her.
He looks a bit terrified.
Understandable.
You walk down the indicated path, and you reach the crest of the hill and hit like a dirt road. It winds backwards and forwards over some gentle slopes and past some small fields. There's a couple of like whitewashed cottages with fruit trees here and there. It's actually quite idyllic. After about maybe 20 minutes, you start coming on more and more houses with outbuildings and so on, and it becomes really obvious to you that actually Borosash is not like a small village at all. It's quite big. There's maybe a couple of hundred houses, maybe a few more. And you sort of start walking into the town. Dogs are barking and the kids who are playing in the streets stop and sort of look at you confusedly as you walk along and peep around the corners of their houses. Ooh, what's that? What's that? a couple of housewives come out and just sort of look at you like, what the hell is going on? Because you are a bit of a strange grouping. Because you've got a little old lady stomping along out front, covered in I think she's covered in, like, jewellery, isn't she? Selena? I thought she wears a lot of jewellery. She's certainly got a locket. But she's stomping along out front. You've got a sort of lithe gentleman with a cane, a very frail-looking woman who's a bit jumpy, and then the world's largest woman. Just huge Amazonian shape coming after them
all. She's not the world's largest.
No, she's pretty big, though.
I mean, she's not Oldstaff's wife.
Oldstaff's wife is smaller.
Really?
Oldstaff's wife is only size 90.
Only? Only?
No.
You're 95?
No, 90.
Ah, in which case you're the same size as Oldstaff.
Yeah,
well,
only 90.
But
size.
I think your strength is higher, is the thing.
I don't know. I don't know how strong she is.
Selena does apparently have some gaudy jewellery.
Yeah, so there we go. So they sort of kind of look at you and so on, and they sort of shout out to you. Hello, what are you doing here? And Selena responds with, don't worry, we know what we're doing.
Look at her, because obviously I don't understand what she just said.
What?
What did you say to them?
I said we knew what we were doing.
Well, that's not very... It doesn't really explain very much.
Well, no, of course not.
No? Are we going to say we're here to see the local priest?
Oh, all right. Blah, blah, blah. Filipovich! She's just yelling the name repeatedly at this housewife. The housewife looks a bit confused and goes into a house. And a couple of seconds later, one of the kids runs out of the house and runs to the fields behind. And she goes out and says something to Selena and waves. And Selena goes, now we've got to wait here.
Well, you're not walking.
Are you being sarcastic, young man?
No, I was simply stating the obvious.
I'm an old woman, and I'll have you know, walking is difficult when you get this old.
I'll take your word for it.
After a couple of minutes, maybe three or four men come wandering up. One of them steps out in front. Hello. I, Todor Nidik, you visit Orosash,
yes.
Home of Serbia. Good, good. You here because...
We hopefully have with Father Filipovich?
Yes, Padre, he in middle, yes, we, you tired?
What time of day is it?
Probably about 3 o'clock by now.
Not excessively so.
You lunch?
You...
Actually, lunch would be quite nice.
This way. He takes you into the house that Selena was shouting at. Yes, please. He talks to his wife and she goes, oh, yeah, and starts bustling around. And in about 10-15 minutes, there's a relatively hearty sort of lunch-style meal. There's like some cold ham and some cheese and bread. And quite a lot of fruit, presumably from their own trees. There's quite a lot of fruit trees around here. There's some typically Turkish tea on the go in a corner. And he bustles around, putting all the butter. Yes, you from very far come to here, yes?
Well, we've been travelling across Europe.
From
England, originally.
Oh, England, yes. Oh, yes, England. Very busy.
Oh, yes.
Many lots, yes. We, here we not so much to come see people, but it's good. Many history here, good history. Tonight, in French, is time for his word renew the village. The Cigani, you know Cigani? They come and do wah, 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 then all village good. So, yes, it's good, it's good. You will tonight be stay as long way to be back, go?
I would assume so. I mean, I don't think the train runs back, you know?
You, no problem to stay? Maria, yeah. And here we can with house make.
Oh.
And, well, two. And then maybe Filipovich or Istran here with house make for two more. Oh. Selena just goes, I'll stay here. She's now out of the way.
Oh, that's very kind, thank you.
Okay, old lady here, Bistay?
I think so. Yes. She's had a very trying several days.
Yes. Maria is... I think his wife's name is Maria. No, Ilya. Ilya, yes. One monument, yes. Come. These four really old people come in. There. Because he's not like, he's sort of middle, you can tell he's middle-aged, but he's worked outside all of his life, so he's very weathered. Four people come in who look like they've been basted in vinegar. Two little tiny men, two little tiny women, obviously hunched over from all the work they've done in the years. This is my father and mother, and this Ilya father and Ilya mother. This is my son Mikon, and this is my son Dalti, and this is my my son Mikon wife. And this is my son Dalti wife, and this is this is my grandchild. His name. This is my other grandchild, and this child is also a grandchild. This one here is a grandchild. This one here too is a grandchild. Here is grandchild again, and this is grandchild. And over there in the for the babe is the baby. In the baby is the grandchild. I have many grandchild.
They're all fine young children.
And is my father and my mother, they have many, many great grandchild. All is in this room. This is a big house, so for two, no problem. It's no problem. Yes. After we, for the eating, I to Filipovich.
Oh, yes. That would be lovely. Thank you.
Filipovich. Big house. So big house. No grandchildren, no children. 20 years with wife and no children. Imagine. I don't think today I would be here if no children. Not good. I think you must have many children, many grandchildren. Otherwise, when you're old, no good. Who work on the field? Father, no work on the field. And father just looks and goes, meh, meh, meh. Why father, no work on the field? Why father goes, meh, meh, meh. I strong bark. Yes, but you cannot actually stand straight, so how you pick the fruit? Step ladder. He goes into the corner and brandishes a stepladder at you. Yes. So, yes. You have come a long way, yes? And you spend the next probably about an hour speaking with the family. They seem very happy to have visitors from so far away here. Oops, excuse me. That was me knocking the microphones down there. Eventually, you've finished eating, and by the end of the food, you are quite stuffed. It's very much a, oh, you've stopped eating. You must be looking for the next course. I will go and bring it. Here, eat. Go on, eat. Oh, you've stopped eating again. I'll bring another course. Eat, please, eat. by the time you've reached, like, twice over your normal capacity, it's like, oh, don't you want more food? I can make more. No more food. I can't breathe. My lungs are filled with meat. But yeah. And we've broken him again. So anyway, eventually though, you sort of have a little rest after dinner. Medic is not in any great rush to rush out of the door, presumably because he's as full as the rest of you. But after about a further half hour or so, he gets up and goes, "Come on, I will take you to Filipovich." Let me lead you into the centre of the village, and he leads you past the church. Quite a big church, stone church, quite nice. And he takes you to the biggest house. He's like, "You see, Filipovich, biggest house, but I, most important house. You know? Mayor. I am the mayor of this town. I do good for all peoples. It's good. Maybe you go to a place in England and write how Orosage is interesting and maybe more people to come." Yes. I will to... One second, he walks up to the front door. After about half a minute or so, this guy comes to the door. Obviously been making bread, flour up to his elbows. And he just sort of pats his hands off and responds in Serbian. And Todor just sort of points at you all and speaks in Serbian. And the gentleman goes... "Ah, yes, I am Christian Filipovic. I am the local priest. Pleased to meet you."
"Oh, hello."
"And you are?"
"My name is Clarissa Kleck."
"Uh-huh. And you are?"
"Mary Flanagan."
"And you are?"
"Chester Filman."
"Chester Filman. What is your credit rating?"
Credit rating?
Yeah, no good
luck. 40.
I think you are a fantasy, yes?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I have read about you, yes. Please, come in. He looks about late 50s, early 60s, pretty tall, slightly greying at the edges of his hair. Most of it's like quite dark, though. Big, bushy eyebrows, no moustache. He brings you in and takes you into the kitchen where there's a big loaf of bread that he's obviously been, like, kneading. Sat in a corner is a woman, probably 40 or so years old. She just sort of looks over at you. She's fairly pretty, but Yeah, she sort of seems a bit... I'm sorry? Who are these people? Ah, these are visitors from England? England. And she's, oh, interesting. Yes, I am very pleased to have visitors from such an interesting place. Please come in, sit down. Would you like some tea? Ah, Todo, yes, please come and sit. Yes. So, to what can we owe this pleasure? It is not often that tourists come to our little town. It is very important in Serbian history, but for people to come from further afield, it is not normal.
We were given your name by Dr. Todorovic.
Oh, yes. Dr. Todorovic of the museum, yes?
Yes, that's right.
Ah, yes. He's a very good man. We do business together. And Todor is like, he's sort of following along the conversation, but not quite. What is it in reference to?
We're interested in some specific statue pieces.
Ah, you are collectors. Yes. Ah, yes. Well, very much. Yes, I deal with a lady in the forest. She is, well, we call her grandmother, although she's not related to myself. I believe she is related to you, is she not, Anna? Oh, yes, she's a friend of my family. Yes. She comes from Arundelo back, yes? Yes. She's lived in the woods for some 40 years or more. She collects artifacts from Roman and Byzantine times, from the roads and way stations cut through the old forest. Yes, she must be well into her 80s now, but she's very independent and, you know, still sharp in the brain. You will have to be well practiced in the bargaining, though, if you intend to go and speak with grandmother. She makes a very good living out of Dr. Todorovic in the National Museum. Unfortunately, I'm quite happy to, organize a visit for you, but it is already 4:30. By the time you get into the woods, it will be dark, and then how would you get back out? I would say it would be better, I think, to go tomorrow morning. It is deep in the woods to the northwest, quite a walk from the village, so going with more daylight, I think, would be the plan.
That does sound reasonable.
Yes. I think we can arrange that, yes. Oh, Todor, by the way, with a big beard, very dark moustache, quite a happy smiling guy. Looks a bit like Santa Claus, if Santa Claus wasn't wearing red. Do you have anywhere to stay? Well, Todor, he speaks to Todor in Serbian for that. Ah, yes, okay. I can put two of you up if you wish.
That would be lovely, thank you.
Yes, I think that would work out. Todor, you will be able to take the others, yes? Yes, I already to say have. In my house, we two take, and in your house, you two take, yes? Yes. I think that will work out the best for everybody, yes. What brings you to Serbia?
Well, we've been travelling across Europe on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Orient Express is a fine train. Can all of you make me a perception check? Well, we're just... Sorry. Is it perception or spot hidden?
Spot hidden, I would think.
It's asking me for perception here. It's one of those annoying things.
I passed it.
Cool. I did not pass it.
If you pass, you can check your spot hidden. You notice a photograph on the mantelpiece in the living room. It looks like it's this chap and his wife on their wedding day. And there's another young man nearby who you reckon is probably Dr. Todorovich. Weirdly, though, both Filipovich and Todorovich look about the same age, but Anna has aged really well.
Okay, so she looks much older in the photo.
No.
Maybe.
She looks about... all of them look about the same age in the photo, but she only looks about 40 now.
Oh.
But Filipovich and Todorovich are both, like, nearly 60-odd.
Okay.
She's obviously done very well. Yes, so you sit and chat for a bit. And after a little while, Todor says, Filipovich, is okay if I've for the people take? Oh, yes. Bring back those who are staying later. Ah, yes. Come. I have to already arrange a big dinner for all of you. Many people to come, many from village. It will be excellent. And he leads you back to his house, which you thought it was packed before. There's now about 30 people in there. And the table, which had been full of food earlier in the day, is now literally groaning under the weight of all of the food. And you all sit down and people are scrambling and leaning over and getting, like, vegetables out of things, meat and so on. And you're all placed at the head of the table in the seats of, like, status and so on. And Todor sits very, very near to you and speaks to you. Oh, tonight will be very good, interesting for you to see. It is the night for ceremony when the sundown. Ancient ritual with the Sigani. They will come and they will do. It's very good. Very. Oh, you are collectors, yes, of old things.
Yes.
Ah, come. He leads you over to a windowsill. Pulls back the curtains, and on the windowsill there's all like these little pottery objects and pieces of metalwork and so on. You see these? They are Roman. When we need to plough, they come up and we put them to the side. Sometimes these I sell to a friend at museum with Filipovich. Mm. I give to him, he sells for me. Again, you can all make me spot hittens if you want. I mean, they are nice. Some brooch, some coin, little figure you see here. This is woman with snake head.
Oh, Medusa.
No, he's not Medusa. He's not Medusa. Everybody say, oh, that is Medusa. No, he's her sister, Sethenno.
Oh.
Anybody make the roll?
Yes.
You do? Please feel free to take your spot hidden. Over on one side, you see that there's a different item. There's a whistle carved out of bone, very elegant. And right on the base, there's this curving symbol that looks a little bit like the symbol that was on that stone that you had.
The stone that came out of the ploughed field.
And the one that you found in Professor Morich's goods. The branches and the flames and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yes, all of this is things I have found. And it is good, I think. Very, very nice to find in place of my things.
Mary will just sort of nod, kind of trying to be polite, but clearly has no idea what any of this stuff means.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just, well, try to look interested in the other stuff and have a bit more of a look at that.
Yeah, it's quite simple, but it is very elegant and it's very pretty. It's obviously like much, much better made than everything else there. Oh, you like this thing?
Oh, I was just wondering what it would have been used for.
I assume it is a whistle for the music.
Oh, it wouldn't be used for, you know, like animal farming or anything.
Possibly. The Romans, farming, shrugs his shoulders. Maybe they do these things. You historian?
Not specifically, no.
Mm.
It's all very interesting. The symbol's very curious.
So, you please, he lifts it up. Please, for you. You are my guest. I give to you a gift as this for you. One of the children looks over and sees him handing it over and starts to cry, but his sister comes over and quiets it down and sort of gives you a look.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Yes. Please. It's for you. We are... we're generous.
Generous.
That is it, yes.
Very, thank you.
He's good, but yes. So, you have speak with Filipovich about you want find statue thing.
Yes, apparently he has a contact in the woods.
Ah, you mean Baba?
Oh, he called her grandmother.
In Serbia's Baba.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she has been in the woods a long time. When young, she was very clever in the brain, but she has gone deep in the forest. We all think she's, you know, a little maybe touched in the head now.
I see.
She has not come to here very long time. Last time she be in Orasash is, 12.
Wow.
So, yes, Baba is difficult lady. He sort of gives a pointed look over into the corner where Selena is snoring away. She not like Sigani. Last year, she was in Deepfield, and Sigani were in Deepfield, and she's shouting at Sigani, and Sigani is shouting back. He's very silly. But, yes, Sigani would do tonight the ritual to make all good here. Every year they do. Every year we have good harvest and good rain and all good. Harvest and the things. So every year we do it.
Okay.
They have a camp outside of town. The Sigani know like to be walls and walls and walls and walls, you know? They like to move here, move there, shift about a bit. They are good people, I think.
Do you have any problems with them?
No. Sigani, city people?
Mm-hmm.
They say, all thief are Sigani. No. All thief are thief. Some Sigani may be thief, but not this Sigani. Sigani here, good Sigani. Sigani near town, they be told, you thief, you thief, you thief. So they become tea. The Sigani here, we say, you're Sigani. And they go, we are Sigani. And we say, you are friend Sigani. And they go, yes, we are friend Sigani. But near city, they say, you are thief, you are bad, you are down, go, be gone. No money for you, no work for you, go, be gone. And when you say that sort of thing to people, I think in their heads it gets in and then no good.
Mm.
It's like if you take dog and hit and hit and hit, you make angry dog, make bad dog. You make not, you can't control dog, you can't make dog do the things. You just make beaten dog who is angry at you. But if you take dog and you give food, and when they do it wrong, you say, no dog, bad dog. And when they do good, you say, good dog, well done dog. You end up with dog who can do the thing. It's the same with how people treat the Sigani. They are not dog.
No.
But it is the same way, you know? If you treat with kind and lead and gentle, then they good and good and gentle. If you go, no, bad, get out, then they go be bad and get out, and then he's bad.
I see.
Yes. These Sigani, very good. Old. Right. Done many times. What is time, actually? We should be getting ready for ritual. You can all be in ritual, too.
All right, so what actually happens?
He's complicated.
Right.
Difficult to explain. Easy. Soon you will see. He's easier, you see, than anything else. But yeah. He sort of lapses into quiet. Give me a moment. Just a quick read. So yeah, about half an hour later, this procession starts coming into the town. Sort of brightly coloured jackets, brown or dark trousers, all the men and women wearing very similar colours. The women have got these, like, almost apron dresses. They're all carrying these lit torches, although it's not really dark enough for it yet. And they come into the town. And Todor goes out and brings you with him to greet the headman of the Sigani. Marko Markovic is quite a big man.
Marko Markovic?
Yes. It means Mark, son of Mark. He's probably 6'4". Quite powerfully built. He's even taller than you, Mary. I know. Shocking.
Gosh.
You probably put him early 60s, but he's still quite vigorous with it.
Vigorous.
Yeah, and he comes in and he clasps hands with Todor and shakes his hand very well and goes, this is mine, work hard. And Todor sort of leads you lot over to him and says, this is Marco. He's leader of Sigani. I have told him you are here and wish to see ritual.
I, Marco. I, Sigani. You, British?
Yes.
British is good.
Yes.
Is make good.
Thank you.
Thing.
His English, kind of exhausted, he sort of
just stands there nodding.
Steps back, crosses arms, and nods at you all and smiles broadly. This is Sigani wise woman. This tiny little old lady. Not as old as Selena. She's only 70 odd, comes forward, but she's obviously lived out on the road quite a long time. So she comes forward and she nods at you all, squinting a bit. You kind of have to, you take a step back, expecting her to be a bit like Selena, and she comes forward and grabs your hands and just sort of shakes them and smiles at you. No teeth. Not a single tooth
in her entire head. It was Han. No idea. Marco leans down. She say to you, British good.
Oh.
Thank you.
British Milo good.
Nod.
And then Filipovic comes over, and Marco's like, Filipovic! And then he hugs him, and they dance around a bit for some reason. He sort of leads him in a little jig. You do notice that Anna, Filipovic's wife, is standing over by the church like this, crossed arms, and just glaring at everybody. It's like, Marco looks over and sort of gives her a tentative wave, and she just tosses her head out of the way and turns around and walks off. He leans over to Filipovic and says something, and Filipovic says something back that's obviously a bit apologetic. Anna? No, Sigani.
Ah.
Yes, Anna does not hold with this ritual. She said, I'm afraid my wife is convinced that this is some kind of heathen rite, but I don't see the problem with this sort of thing. I'm the local priest, after all, and all of these people come to church. I've even had some of the Sigani in church before now, haven't I, Marco? Yes. Marco is obviously not really following. Ow. Yes. This ritual is not going to harm anyone. I don't see the problem. But my wife, yes, she has... I think it is from when she was in the city. I think she got some ideas about the Sigani, you know? But I find the Sigani very pleasant people, don't I, Marco? Yes! He smiles and nods again. Should we... They speak in Serbian. And they bring this other girl forward. She's quite young. Actually, she's not that young. She's like 28.
She's older than me.
Yeah, she's older than me. And then so is everybody. She's sort of got like a pinched nose, high cheeks. She greets you all. And then, Todor comes over and says, right, this ritual will begin soon. It lift all the village mood higher, because it's for to get good rains. Because the growing is good with rain, and we have had good rain. But if we do this, we have more good rain. And is no problem with the ritual because Filipovic here. And if Filipovic here, then gorgeous look at Filipovic and see we are still faithful. It's just little ritual. You can see over in a corner that Anna is still just glaring at everybody. all the rest of the village is starting to turn up now. About an hour before dusk, as the air starts to get colder and colder, the women of the village go over to the group of Sigani women, and they go to, looks like either a granddaughter or the youngest daughter of Marco, and invite her into the Nedic house, where you all stand in the square. About half an hour after that, she comes out wearing a skirt and a cape made out of leaves and all of her skin covered in mud. And then everybody starts lighting torches and they all hold torches in the air, apart from Anna, who just glares at everybody. And then they lead her from household to household, dancing and swaying and doing this sort of weird chant, which you can't really follow the words of, but there's a lot of ooh, ooh, stamp, ooh, ooh, stamp. And she goes into each house, then she steps back out of the house, and then they ladle cold water over her.
and give her a little gift. Now, there's quite a lot of houses in Orosach, so this goes on till midnight-ish on the 19th of February. So by the end of it, the girl's like frozen to the bone, almost blue, and chattering. All the mud's been washed off by now. But yeah, so then they all lift her up and carry her into Nedic's house, and they put her in a bath, bring her back out, and start... Now she's got all these warm, bundled-up robes all over her. They sit her on a seat and start passing her, like, little cured bits of meat and Turkish delight and all sorts of stuff. And then she's got this big basket of all the gifts she's received now. And then they start taking her back home. Could you all make me an anthropology roll, a Cthulhu mythos roll, and a spot hidden roll?
Oh my goodness.
I think our date's out of date.
Oh, it'd be the 20th now, wouldn't it?
At least.
I think it's the 21st according to my notes. I think if I've got the right number of sleeps.
Oh, 21st then. Did somebody update the date?
The 19th was when we arrived in Belgrade.
Yes. Well, in that case, it's still fucking February, so she'd still be freezing.
Oh, yeah.
So.
What's the spot hidden?
Okay.
I failed everything.
Well, you don't have any Cthulhu mythos, so it would have been... any Cthulhu mythos, so it would have been difficult for you to pass that one.
I still rolled that one anyway. I don't really know why.
No.
But I still rolled it, which is a shame, because if I hadn't, then I'd have got that roll for spot hidden, so I would have passed spot hidden.
21st.
Yeah. Yes. Wednesday.
Although you might as well put Thursday the 22nd, because it's midnight. Okay.
I haven't read my rolls yet.
Okay. You've got some Cthulhu mythos as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I...
You picked some up?
No, I don't.
Oh, you've never gone insane.
Yeah, I lost a mighty one sanity against skin free, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't pick up any Cthulhu mythos of that either, which is really distressing.
I definitely didn't pass my anthropology.
Fair enough.
Didn't pass the spot hidden either.
Okay. So you... Oh, that was very whistly. So you, Clarissa, realise that the wise woman is wearing one of those bones round her neck. You know, the bone whistle?
Okay.
That you've been given a gift of?
Right. What has she... Has she done much during the walking
round? Mostly she's just sort of stood there and nodded and smiled to people and then waved the girl into a different house. You seem to think that her part in the ceremony is mostly observation and, you know, moving around as little as possible because it aches her bones.
Well, this weather is you know...
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
Pretty cold for someone of my constitution anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I sympathise.
At this point, you get to choose who's sleeping where. Who's sleeping at the Filopovich house and who's sleeping at Nedic's house? One of you can sleep at Nedic's house because Saliva's already there. Okay, so you're going to go for the church house?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Okay. Chester will let Clarissa, please.
Mary doesn't know Saliva very well and mostly knows that Saliva was left alone with Izzy and Izzy died. Fuck no.
That's fair, actually.
Yeah.
I can't fault that logic. Honestly, I can't fault that logic.
Yeah, it's solid logic.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty solid logic.
I don't care that if I'm out of prison, I'm still not being left alone with her.
No, because she could be a murderer.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I would be.
Yes. So who's sleeping where?
Chester will let Clarissa choose. He's a gentleman like that.
I would suggest, since he recognised you by your name, you might stay with a priest and you might get
some
more information out of him, maybe. I don't know.
It's possible. Okay, I'll stay at
Filopovich's house.
Filopovich's house, yes.
although for some reason it says Todorovic. You know, that's not right. So, in that case, I'm going to deal with you first, Carissa.
Oh, goody.
You head back to the...
Sorry.
You head back to the Nedic house with Todor. And he's like, oh, yes, you see, it's good ritual. Poor girl is very cold, but so many nice new trinket and things and buttons. And so she can... Good clothes, Mike, yes?
Very interesting.
Yes, come, please. So you will be to sleep here. We have put your mother?
No, we're not related. She's just a friend of mine.
We have put your friend in the bed on the right. You are in the bed on the left. Okay. And by in the bed on the left, I mean you've got the left-hand side of this bed. But judging by the room, you think this is probably Todor and his wife's room. So,
right.
Yes, he's good. If you need in the night for the... yes, you leave house and go to end of garden, his house room. You open door, take a broom, under the seat with the broom. The cat on the seat, or sometimes the Pokemon.
The what, sorry?
The Pokemon. Spiky. No, oh, sit.
Oh no, I don't want any spiky, thank you.
Remove from there. Yes, tomorrow, breakfast. Much good. I sleep. He goes up some stairs into the attic.
Okay. Clarissa is planning not to get up in the night.
Yeah, no, definitely not. If you have to take a brush to potential porcupines, it's probably best to stay in bed. Not least of all, because Selena's there going...
She
was very definite. She had a distinctive snore.
But then
she isn't here to make it up, so I get to. But yeah, before you go to bed, though, Nelly's sister comes up and sort of catches you, waves you into the kitchen and sits you down. She points at you and then goes and makes a sort of whistling. And then points, like, in your pockets.
Oh, the whistle?
She says a load of stuff in Serbian, but she knows you don't understand it. Woods? She points out as a village.
The woods?
You woods?
Yes.
You woods? And then makes a walking motion.
Tomorrow, not now.
If woods. She makes like a face like a wolf or something.
Right.
Like.
Yeah.
Is woods. Yes.
So I. No.
So,
just once. Okay.
No. One.
Once. Okay.
One. But she's waving her hands about and gesticulating wildly. She roots about in your pockets until she's got the whistle in her hand.
Right.
E?
Yes.
Wood?
Yes. Yes.
She doesn't actually blow through the whistle, but she holds it to the side of her mouth and then does one big breath.
One big breath, right.
And then she goes... makes a sound like a frightened dog.
Okay.
In wood.
In the wood?
Yes.
Are there lots of... I'll try and make the same, like...
Wood?
Yes.
She sort of clenches her fists and shakes them in front of her face. You wood? She holds up the whistle again.
Whistle. Right.
And then, like, presses it to the centre of her chest. Mimes walking, looking around, then mimes, getting very scared, pulls it up to her, and then mimes running away.
Right.
And then points very definitely at you and hands you the whistle.
I take the whistle and look at it.
And she pushes it towards you.
I put it back in my pocket.
She gives one big blow. Beh! And then does a sort of exploding motion with her hands.
One blow.
Beh!
One blow and it explodes.
Then she minds snapping. Mimes blowing and then snapping occurring.
I can use it once.
And then she does the throwing away motion. And then shrugs, as if, like, where's my whistle gone? You. And points at you.
Right.
And then
yes.
Nods.
I'm definitely getting to sleep now.
And you spend the next couple of minutes like nodding at each other and going in various different tones.
To make you go
I would love to say that I'm just making all this shit up, but I've had whole conversations like this with people because I am terrible at languages, but everybody talks to me eventually. Everybody. It doesn't matter what country I'm in, people want to talk to me. Even if we don't talk the same language. Well, you've seen me having conversations like this. We can make ourselves known in whatever language we like. But yes, you two, meanwhile, go back to Filipovich's house. Filipovich, he's sort of chatting along with you as he goes, honestly, I've been thinking about this ritual, because it happens every year. It seems to be some kind of ancient ritual from very long ago. It's probably some kind of like folk tradition or something. It's very interesting, isn't it? It's very symbolic of the washing away of the mud to bring the rain. And the giving of the gifts and so on. It's a wonderful thing. And then you get to the house and Anna's standing at the door, arms crossed and glaring at you all. I see you have all involved yourself in this heathen ritual. Ah, yes, dear, but of course all of the people in the village... I think it is a disgusting thing. You should not what is the word? Humouring. You should not be humouring them. It is... they should pray and pray hard, not to do all this ridiculousness. Yes, dear, but we have guests. Let us just come in. Yes. Come. I will be putting you in the guest room. I'm talking like Toto. Unfortunately, there is only one bed. We can provide, however, a bolster. We have one from when we were not married yet. So you go into the bedroom, and he goes into the wardrobe, and he pulls out a bit of wood that slots into the headboard and the footboard, and puts a bit of wood down the centre of the bed. These are real things, I should point out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you can sleep on either side. But, yes, maybe you would like to sit up. I have some very fine rakia.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Have you tried rakia?
What's rakia?
80s. How would you say? Aniseed? It's like a... It's a drink. Very aniseed. It's good. It's very nice.
It's only something you should try at least once.
Okay.
You sit up for a little while drinking rakia with the priest. Go right ahead and make me a couple of constitution rolls, just for shits and giggles, just to see how drunk you get.
I passed mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I fixed my first one.
Oh, well, there we go then. No, you don't need to do anything else. You've obviously grown up around, like, hard-drinking farmhands.
Yeah.
And you hung around with that chap.
Yes, with the...
I don't think we ever gave him a name.
No,
but,
he's just the shooty guy.
The shooter who was always drunk.
Good at forensics.
Yeah. So you're both, like, hardened drinkers, and you actually end up having to put Father Filipovich to bed as opposed to the other way around. Anna is, like, mortified and sends you off to bed. Can you both make me listen checks? In fact, everybody can make me listen checks while they are asleep at night.
I'll spend 6 luck to pass mine.
I passed.
Okay. You're both asleep in your slightly strange bed. Did you pass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You hear something different.
Oh, goody.
In the middle of the night, the absolute middle of the night, you hear cock-a-doodle-doo from your windowsill, and there is a giant black cockerel stood on your windowsill. He taps on the window twice, goes cock-a-doodle-doo, and then wanders off in the middle of the night.
I'm assuming this wakes me up.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'll just sit up in bed and just go, kind of half asleep, go, Chester's not here.
So, over at the other house, you two, you've probably drifted off by now. I mean, you've had quite a lot of rack here. About 3 in the morning, you both sort of wake up. I think you've heard one of, like, the chairs in the kitchen move or something. And move your heads. You sort of attack the microphone and then move your heads around. And you can hear downstairs, like, there's 3 people, probably. They're all talking to each other. Can't really make out what language they're talking in. It doesn't sound like it's Serbian, but maybe it's something related. Something like that. Who knows?
Move towards the door to try and hear it better?
Yeah, you sort of get close to the door. Yeah, there's definitely 3 distinct voices, and they're sort of... They're either having an argument, or they're having, like, a very strenuous conversation, shall we say? You're not entire... You can't make out what language they're using, definitely. It just sounds... It doesn't sound like any language you recognize.
Do any of the voices sound familiar?
From here, you can't tell. I mean, you could try and creep downstairs to listen closer at the door.
I've got pretty keys and stealth, actually. I'm going to try and do that.
Okay, make me a stealth check.
I halved that.
Okay. Creep downstairs and you creep towards the door, and you can still hear the voices talking to each other. And you get right up to the door, and yeah, you can definitely hear 3 voices. You think Anna is probably one of them, but you don't recognize the other two at all. And they're talking this language. It's not a language you recognize, but then what languages do you know?
English and bad English.
Okay, yeah, you don't recognise the language at all then. But they seem to be having like a whispered argument with each other.
That's nothing I can do about it, so I'll just get back to bed.
Yep, that's fine. You get back into bed, nobody any the wiser, apart from you, because you saw him leave the room.
Yeah, well, I woke up when I hear the sound as well.
On the other side of your wooden bolster.
Yeah, and far too self-conscious to actually get out of bed.
When... Oh, no, yeah. Because, like, random man in the same bedroom.
Yeah, there's a random man in the same bedroom.
Yeah, a random man in the same bedroom.
Same bed?
Yeah. But yeah. There is a wooden bolster, so you're all right.
Yeah, there is a bolster.
Nothing unseemly.
No, nothing unseemly here.
Yes, you're the gentleman.
Of course. But yeah, so anybody doing anything else, or are you going back to sleep?
Going back to sleep.
Okay. So you wake up in the morning, and in the Neddick house, you wake up, and oh my god, there is so much breakfast. Loads of people keep coming over and giving food to the Neddicks to give to you. It's like everybody in the village is sort of cooked specifically to bring food to you lot. You're very, very full indeed by the end of breakfast. It's quite good though, and everybody's quite happy, and it's very bustling. You realise that none of the men are there for breakfast, and his wife kind of explains that the men have gone out to start ploughing like very early in the morning, so they're out working in the fields. Over in the Filipovich house, Anna is in a much better mood. Obviously, she's gotten over her problems with the Cigani, and she greets you, she gets you to sit down, she cooks you up a nice breakfast, bacon, eggs, toast, that sort of thing, and then says, my husband says you are going to the woods?
Yes, that's the plan.
Yes.
She goes and she gets a basket and she puts a big loaf of bread in it. The one that you saw the father making himself actually the day before. And put some cheese in there and some raki, you think? So you've got a big bottle of raki in there. Have a good walk.
Oh, thank you.
Father Filipovich comes over and says, sir, yes, so, to get to the cottage, you leave the village down this path, and then you don't stray from the path, either left or right. You'll see the path. It's not like a very clear path, but you'll see the dint. It has grass on it, because not very many people use it, but you will be able to follow it. And then it should just lead you straight to the cottage, and then, well, you will need to speak to grandmother about procuring your items.
Does grandmother speak English?
I suspect you will be able to make yourself known. You do have local money, yes?
Yes.
Clarissa does.
Yes, we do.
Yes, so if you bring that out, she will probably understand you, yes. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Excellent. Pleasure to see you. We'll see you back here later today. You start going out to head off, and Anna comes up to you. You should not trust some of the people in Orasash, particularly the ones who like the Cigani.
Right.
They are, I think they will try and trick you into doing bad things.
I see.
They have had their way long enough.
Thank you for the warning.
Mm-hmm. She nods at you and goes back to the kitchen. So you lot meet up in the centre of town.
Yep. Shall we?
Sorry, do you know where we're going?
Yes.
It's about an hour out of the village. About an hour to the west.
Yes, it's a fairly really straightforward path, apparently. No need to turn off.
Oh, that's good. I've had a very big breakfast. Yes, it may take a while for me to get going.
That's okay. We'll be fine.
Okay. So you start heading off. You head across the open planted fields, and about halfway across you see Todor waving to you in the fields. You head further towards like the open forest. Because there's an open bit where
not very much undergrowth and just trees growing and grass. And then there's a deeper bit where it gets a bit more overgrown and so on. Off to the south as you're walking along, off to the north as you're walking along, about a mile or so, you see some smoke rising, which you think is probably where the Sagani are. Then you start getting closer to the forest, and the pasture lands are very rich and green, even despite the fact that it's like February, so it should be really shit. But it all looks like it's growing well and so on. But you don't see any animals grazing the land or anything. Anyone want to make me a natural world? I believe that is
a skill. Well, that is a skill, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
10%.
I'm surprised that the farm girl...
I halved it.
Oh, she does have it.
She does have it.
Can you check your natural world? From your farm girl's perspective, the villagers are obviously fucking idiots. This ground is perfect grazing ground, and if it's this green during winter, because you could feed your animals during winter on this and not have to use like straw or like husks or something. It would be way better to have like animals out here grazing right now. But it doesn't look to you like anybody's ever grazed these lands at all, which is just daft. That's just silly.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, they're doing themselves out of an easy time, basically.
I'll make a note to ask about that later. Perhaps.
Before long, like, the dark trees start to close in, and there's layer upon layer of old leaves and like pine needles on the floor. Also, it sort of starts edging up into a gentle slope. You seem to be heading upwards into the hills. The limbs above you start intertwining, and you can see, like, all over the place, it's like mushrooms, the old toadstool and bracket fungus coming out of the trees, and so it's sort of, you know, that sort of wet woodland smell. That's quite heavy here.
It's not
unpleasant, but it's definitely there. Can you please all make me listen checks?
Yes, I can have that one too.
I mean, you're racking up the checks. I'm actually going to let you all roll your checks after this one as well.
I didn't pass.
Okay, well, you detect right on the edge of your hearing, there's like a faint background hum. Sorry, that's not going to get picked up by the microphones. A sort of sound right on the edge of your hearing, and it coming from all over the place, but you don't really know exactly where it is.
Does it sound like bees or something?
Not sort of, but not really. It sounds like if there was a bee opera singer in like a big hollow log.
Not European bees, just that sounds weird.
Yeah. But yeah, you're walking along, and after a little while further on, you start smelling something else. Over the mouldy ground, the wet wood, you start smelling bread baking. And walk a bit further, and you come out into a small clearing in the forest. And in the dead centre, there is a thatched cottage. It's made of pale brown, rough-hewn timber, with a circular fence round it, made out of, but somebody's obviously cut down something like brambles or something and woven them into a fence, presumably to keep, like, rampaging animals out of the way. You can hear, well, just beyond the fence, you can see there's, like, a vegetable garden or a herb garden of some description, lots of little plants growing in rows and so on. The cottage door is shut and the windows are closed, but you can hear a young woman's voice inside the cottage singing or humming or something. There's just a little thing ahead of you, a little like hut, cottage thing. There is a gap in the fence, incidentally. We're all doing?
Yes. Now, my guess is where we're supposed to be.
I guess so. Who wants to go and knock on the door?
I'll go.
Okay. So you are you all going or just you?
Probably all go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You start moving forwards, and you have to sort of turn sideways to get through the gap in the fence. Would you all roll your luck?
That's all right.
I do not pass.
Okay.
I have it.
And?
I do not pass.
Okay. How much did you not pass by?
I did not pass by 17.
And you?
49.
Okay. As you're trying to go through, you catch your hand on one of the thorns, dealing yourself 1 point of damage and badly gashing the back of your right hand. You reach the door. Inside, you can smell like newly baked bread wafting out from the inside. What are you doing?
Likely on the door.
Okay. Come in! Come in!
Open the door.
Well, technically she says that in Serbian, but you get the intent.
Yeah.
That, however, is where we're going to stop for the evening, as we have now run out of time, but it's a good stopping point to reach. So thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoy what you've been listening to. If you would like to talk to us, you can talk to us at thecourseofteamdice.net, or you can talk to us at thecourseofteamdice@gmail.com. You can talk to us on the Twitters @CourseofteamDice. You can talk to me @Mordrigan. You can talk to her @SeaGremlin. You can talk to him @BloodiedFox. You can also leave us iTunes or Podchaser reviews. We'd love your reviews, and they do help us get more listeners just like you. Inflict us on more people. You know you want to. But yes. That sounded creepy. Yeah, but thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed this session. Hopefully we've had no problems with the sound this time. We're getting a bit more practice with this shit. It's actually hopefully going to be a fairly long session. So thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.